no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Theater 5. It's The Eye of the Storm, their story from February 9th, 1965. After that, it's Uncle Henry's Rosebush, an episode from Suspense that aired June 29th, 1943.
Theater 5 presents The Eye of the Storm.
The radio minute, John.
All right, Cleo.
Report Hurricane Cleo, now boiling up the coast in the vicinity of Carteret, North Carolina, shows no signs of abating. Residents of that coastal region are advised by local authorities to evacuate to higher ground. The storm is...
What'd they say, John?
Same as fighting the last year. They want me to set up a temporary hospital in the school auditorium.
Well, the roads are washed out in Hastings.
Yeah. Well, phone's out, too. Went just after the message. Will I get the station wagon?
Your bag is in it.
The bandages, too?
Yes.
It's beginning to flood. Mm. We'll have to make a run for it.
Doctor! Doctor Williams!
Oh, look, John, it's the Wallaces from the foot of the road.
Yeah, the Cannings, too, all of them.
Doctor Williams, we're washed out down there. Cars are gone.
Come on, everybody. Into the station wagon. Come on, now. Hurry it up.
Cool half, Doc.
Well, it's the highest place I know. Pile in now, hurry. Move over there.
Betty. Shove over.
Oh, there's 10 of us. It's a lot to take.
All right, we get it.
Oh.
Hello, Mr. Klemper.
Hello, Mrs. Williams. You surprised to see me again?
Well, I thought you were in the hospital.
They let me go. How are you, Doc?
Hello, Klemper. Close that door. The water's rising.
Nora.
Oh, this is a bad one. My husband couldn't get in from Newport. I did the best I could, but I don't think the house will stand. Oh, stop crying, Jimmy.
Nothing's going to stand in this one. It's worse than Edna. This could take everything away.
Trust in the Lord thy God with all thy might.
What?
They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Oh, look. The water's up to the hubcap.
Yeah. We're moving on to higher ground now.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee.
Why do you worry, friend? I've come back to help you. You know who I am. Martin Klemper. Well, at least Dr. Williams knows. You know me, don't you, Doctor?
I know you, Klemper.
Then tell him not to worry. I am here.
You all know where to go. Into the auditorium. Come on now. Hurry up.
Oh, thank heaven we're here. Oh, thank heaven we made it.
I'll find a cot for Jimmy.
All right, Mrs. Hallam. Now there's no reason to cry. Let me see. Little girl's got a minor cut, that's all. Here. I'll clean it and bandage it.
Now.
It doesn't hurt, does it?
Doc?
Yes?
Don't I remember him?
Hmm? Who?
That Klemper character.
Oh, I don't think so, no. He's from down near Wilmington. There. She'll be all right, Mrs. Hannum.
John?
Yes, Clara?
Can you come here, please?
Yes. Excuse me.
What do we do, John?
About what?
You know he wasn't released.
Yes. But we mustn't do anything to panic these people. It's going to be bad enough anyhow.
Doc? The Lippman family, all of them, they're stranded down near the ferry.
Yeah?
Your car still running?
Yep.
Well, I'll get him.
Not without me, Doc. You know that. You'll need my help.
I might at that, Klimpo. Come on.
John! Take care.
It's all right, Clara. It's all right.
Fine woman, Mrs. Williams. Fine wife. You know what I've come for, don't you, Doc?
No, I don't.
Justice, righteousness, the victory.
Well, let's get on our way. These people need us.
The needs of all will be met. For as a man soweth, so shall he also reap.
What are you doing, Klimper?
It's not what I do. It's what must be done. From now on, you and I and the gun, we're all together.
And we've got to get to those people.
Oh, yes, we've got to get to the people. As long as the storm lasts, you're all right, Doc. Start driving.
What happens after the storm?
There's no more need for you.
How did you get free, Clever?
Not how, but why? Ask and it shall be given you. I spent a year there, Doc. More than a year before the revelations came. Then I saw my way. My mission was revealed. After the storm, Doc. After the storm.
But why, Klimper?
Why?
Oh, not so much that you sent me there. Although I didn't especially care for it. I mean, a man could live a lifetime without going to a madhouse, couldn't he?
He might. But you heard the evidence of the review board.
Oh, yes. They said I was insane.
You disagree?
Which isn't important one way or the other. The evil thing is that when you sent me there, you took something away from the world. A year of my goodness, a year of wonders and miraculous works.
A man can be mistaken. No one knew you had those powers.
The powers of life and death. Oh, yes. And now I will reveal them to the world when the storm ends.
Now listen, Klimper. The review board, it may have made an honest mistake. Now, if you make me a promise, I'll request a new hearing for you.
What kind of promise?
You said you'd do nothing until the storm was over.
Of course. The people need you. I love the people.
All right, then promise me you'll do one more thing.
You can't be sure. What is it?
Promise me you'll do nothing with that pistol until they're all returned safely to their homes.
There they are, see? In that shed.
Yep. All right.
Now, now, there's no reason to cry, none at all. Be strong and of good courage. Peace is here.
Hurry, all of you. Get back to the car.
Let the little children come with me.
They're so scared, all of them. My wife, too. A house right up from the foundations and washed away everything in it. All right. Hurry now, get in. Klimper, come on.
What's that?
Where?
Oh, there. Well, what is it?
Get into the car.
It's a snake.
A snake! A snake! Skip around it. They're driven out by the storm.
No, no! I won't go near it. It's the breath of hell. It's the serpent of evil.
Come around it, Klimper. Hurry!
Look at its head. Look at it staring at me. Look.
Look!
It's the eye of damnation.
Come on! Get into the car!
The devil has stared at me. The devil has looked me in the eye.
In a hurricane, they're everywhere. We passed dozens of them. Copperheads, rattlers, everything.
I saw his face. In the eye of a snake, I saw the face of evil.
Thank you.
she's all right, Mrs. Hallam. She's going to be fine.
John, come over here.
I've seen it. I know he has a gun in his pocket.
I don't think he'll use it.
He's come for you, hasn't he?
Now, Clara, we've got to control ourselves.
What do you do?
Nothing, at least for the time being.
But, John, you just can't let him...
We've got to think of these others.
He seems so frightened. What happened to him out there?
Enough. I got to find out what it's done to him, how dangerous he might be, and why.
Please do it carefully.
I will, and thanks.
For what?
For what you are.
Take care.
How about some coffee?
No.
You're still trembling. Something hot might help.
You have prepared a table for me in the sight of mine enemies.
I could give you something for your nerves.
Oh, yes. I know what you could give me, but don't try it, Doctor. I know my mission. The snake was sent to make me resolute, to see my duty clearly and not to falter.
Well, then I think you'll continue to see it clearly.
What?
The higher the water rises, the more of them will be driven from their holes.
More?
Oh, there's little danger, really, but there might even be hundreds of them all trying to find the higher land.
High land?
Like the people trying to find a dry place to stay alive.
I've heard enough.
Did you know a snake can tell by instinct how high the water will rise? Of course, the water moccasins don't care, but the rattlers and the copperheads do.
Huh? Why?
They're not aquatic. They slither before the flood to the highest places.
Demons. That's what they are.
They float in over the windowsills if the water rises high enough.
I've heard enough.
They crawl to the rafters, high and dry. Instinct.
Stop it. I will hear no more blasphemy. No more praise of evil. You stop it, yeah?
Well, certainly, Klimper.
I am the night and the way. I am the strength of man. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
You mentioned your revelations, Klimper.
I am chosen among men.
I understand that. Will you tell me how you were chosen?
In fire. In fire and light, I was shown my way as few men are shown, with a shield shooting lightning as I marched. No one could fend off the lightning as it struck my oppressors down. Behind the shield, I was justice and truth and faith. You're a smart man.
I admire your dedication,
but I have been told, Doc. I have been told.
Told what?
After the storm.
It's still rising, Clara. We got to do something about the beds. Get the injured ones onto the stage where it's higher.
Oh, wait. Where are you going?
To have a look at the attic. If it goes on flooding, we'll have to find a way to pull the beds up from the stage.
Stay away from them, John.
If I can.
No, I mean completely. Get out. Leave now.
With the flood rising, I'm the only doctor here.
I don't care. Go.
Even if I wanted to, there's no way, Clara. The cars are all awash out there. Besides, I'm not the only one he wants.
You're the one he means to kill.
Unless he decides otherwise. You see, I know. The rest of them don't.
You're mine.
Thank you.
Don't thank me. Save yourself.
You know what I've got to do?
Help me. I wish I could.
Ask them to get the beds on stage.
Where are you going, Doc?
The water's rising. I've got to see if the attic is safe.
Alone? Without me? Not without me.
Now, how far do you think I could go? Look at the flood out there. Do you think I'll jump?
What good would it do, right? Everything drives you to me. All the forces of nature, like the hound of heaven.
That's a view you're entitled to.
It's an omen. Heaven and earth won't let you go. You can't escape your destiny.
You coming up with me?
No need. There's no way out for you. I'll wait here a while.
Martha, listen! There's a different
side. The wind is dying and the water. I think it's going down.
The level is dropping.
Look, the wind is stopped. Listen!
Let me see. Let me see. Let me look out the window.
The rain is stopping, too.
It's stopping. The storm's ending. Fall on your knees. Fall on your knees and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way is clear. The sign is shown. The word is spoken. Hallelujah.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know.
I raised my voice in thanksgiving for the light you have shown to me. I hear the voice that guides me.
Oh, look. The sky is clearing over there.
The flooding in the yard is stuck.
Where are you going, Mr. Klemper?
I have a mission, Mrs. Williams. Believe me, I can't say how sorry I am. I have a mission.
But there's no need for this. No reason, no logic.
He knows the need. He knows the reason. He has called me to my work.
No! No, I can't let you go up there. Please!
Let him come, Clara. Go away from the stairs.
Oh, John, I can't. I can't.
Come up, Clemper.
It's dark. Where's the light?
There is none. It's out.
I can see you with the eyes of reckoning that pierce the darkness. Besides, there's light down here. Move over to the stairs.
I don't intend to move.
Move where I can see you.
Oh, no.
It's over, Doc. The storm is over.
This isn't the end out there. This here's the eye, the center of the storm. It's going to turn around and come on again. Maybe worse than it was.
You lie. The guilty lie. They lie.
The storm is only moving. The wind and the water will rise again.
You lie, and you beg, and you try to deceive the keeper of righteousness. The storm is over.
The snakes know it isn't.
What?
They're not leaving.
What are you talking about?
The high places. This is the highest. This is where they've come, high and dry. They're coiled in every corner of this attic.
No, no.
Hundreds of them.
You're lying, you're lying, you're lying.
I can see one now behind your head, hanging from the raft.
No. Get it away, get it away.
Be careful. You got to kill him. You got to be sure they're dead. Move. He's going to drop on you. There's another one at your feet. It's coiled to strike. Look at his tongue. Shoot.
Get it away. Get it away. Get it.
Look, they're moving out of that corner. Copperheads, rattlesnakes, gliding out toward you. Shoot!
Save me!
Clemper, you missed! Fire again!
Let me out!
John, are you all right?
It's all right, Clara. He dropped a gun. It's empty anyway.
Oh, but the snakes, you've got to get them out of here.
Hold up the lantern. Do you see any?
No. No, not a one.
There's the wind again.
Well, at least we know the storm's half over.
Yeah, you better tell them to pile those tables on the stage. It might be higher this time.
Oh, wait, John. Where are you going?
To bring him back. To whatever safety we have. The water will rise again.
Oh, but John, you know he's insane.
We can't leave him out there.
But what if he becomes violent? What if he starts imagining and seeing things?
Don't we all do that? Every man has his own snakes. We gotta find a place, even for him.
Mm-hmm.
5 has presented The Eye of the Storm, written by Richard McCracken, produced and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Court Benson, Alice Yorman, Stotz Cotsworth, Audrey Marsh, Ben Yaffe, and Cecil Roy. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Our starring Hollywood cast of characters reads as follows for tonight. As Aunt Julie, one of those stark, severe, and terrifying women who is encountered ever so often along the grimmer outposts of the American countryside, Miss Agnes Moorhead. As Carol Linden, the girl who returned to a scene of childhood happiness and found terror living in the house, Miss Ellen Drew. As Paul, Carol's husband, who had his own ideas as to the explanation of these strange events, Mr. Ted Reed. A first radio play by Larry Roman called Uncle Henry's Rosebush is tonight's tale of suspense. If you have been with us before, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so it is with Uncle Henry's Rosebush and the performances of Agnes Moorhead as Aunt Julie, Ellen Drew as Carol, and Ted Reed as Paul. We again hope to keep you in suspense.
I shall tell you the story exactly as it happened. There's no use pretending. I'll never forget, and I know I'll not awake and find it all a dream. It's real, and for the rest of my life, I shall know it's real. Paul was to have his first vacation since we were married. I suggested we visit my Aunt Julie and Uncle Henry, who had a small farm upstate. They had always been very kind to me. When I was a child, I used to spend my summer vacations with them. They love children. I've often wondered why they never had any of their own. Some time ago, I'd lost track of them. They had never seen Paul, and I was certain they'd like to. Paul said it would be fine. We'll surprise them, I thought. We were the ones who were surprised. Just a few more miles, Paul. I remember this road. We used to hike along it going to the village.
Ah, this country air is wonderful. 2 weeks of green grass and wicker chairs. I can't think of anything better.
Oh, you'll love Aunt Julie and Uncle Henry. They live alone, quiet and peaceful. It'll be quite a change from the city.
Yeah. Well, they must be happy together.
Oh, they are, but they're lonely.
Smooth lawns and orchards.
And flowers. Uncle Henry planted huge rose bushes around the porch. Every night as I crawled in the bed, he used to bring me a rose. They're his favorite flowers.
Ah, vacation, here we come. Come on, car, let's go.
Just around the bend.
Here we go. There it is. Carol, look.
Why, Paul.
Are you sure this is the place?
Yes, but all the weeds and the broken shutters. Looks as though it's been neglected for months. I don't understand.
Yeah, perhaps it's deserted.
Oh, but it can't be. It's their home.
Oh, come on. Let's go up and see. The dirt on this porch must be an inch thick. No answer. Nobody here.
Look, Paul, over there at the end of the porch. The rose bush. Uncle Henry's rose bush.
Why, it's trimmed and neat. It's the only thing that seems to be taken care of.
Well, then somebody must be here. Maybe they can tell us what happened to Aunt Julie and Uncle Henry. Knock again. Mm-hmm. Someone's coming.
Well?
We're looking for a Mr. and Mrs. Connors. They used to live... Why, Aunt Julie, I didn't recognize you. But it's me, Aunt Julie. It's Carol.
I wasn't expecting you.
Paul's vacation. We thought we'd spend it here. Well, you've been asking for us for years. This is Paul, my husband.
Carol's told me so much
about you. Why did you come?
What?
I said, why did you come?
Well, aren't you glad to see us? Aunt Julie, something's happened.
Nothing's happened.
Oh, but it did. Tell me, Aunt Julie, we'll help.
Well, of course we will.
You shouldn't have come.
Well, Carol, if she doesn't want us, let's go.
No, Paul. This isn't like you, Aunt Julie. Something dreadful has happened, I know it.
Go, Carol, please go.
Listen, if it's money, Aunt Julie, well, we haven't got too much, but you're welcome to
it. I tell you, nothing's wrong.
Oh, but there must be. This house...
You're her husband. I'm asking you to take her and go away.
Oh.
Come on, Carol. We're not wanted. Let's go.
We're going to stay.
Well, there you are. She's your niece, and you know how stubborn she can be.
We're going to stay. Where's Uncle Henry? I say, where's Uncle Henry?
He's not here.
Oh, but where is he?
He's not here. Isn't that enough?
Oh, well, he's back.
He won't be.
Oh, but Aunt Julie...
He won't ever be back.
I stood there bewildered. Aunt Julie had run out of the room. Perhaps she was crying. I don't know. I just knew that Uncle Henry was gone. That he had left her. It seemed strangely impossible. They'd always been so happy. So supremely happy that it seemed that the only thing that could separate them on this earth was death. And now this. I couldn't believe it. Paul and I walked into the living room. It was almost as dusty as the outside. The curtains were dirty, the floor littered with old newspapers. The entire room showed the same signs of neglect as the outside. And when I recalled how neat Aunt Julie had always been with her housework, a feeling of apprehension crawled up my back. Frankly, I was frightfully worried, and I could tell by the look on Paul's face that he was worried, too. I don't like it, Paul. There's something strange here.
Yeah. I never saw a house in such a mess.
It's not just the house. It's more than that. Something much more. I'm sure of it.
Well, really, Carol, it's none of our business, don't you?
Well, perhaps not, but you don't know Aunt Julie like I do. She'd never ask for help, no matter how much she needed it. I'm just not prying, Paul.
I suppose you're right.
They've always been so kind to me. I've got to help them.
But how can we, Carol? We don't even know what's wrong.
They were always so happy together. Somehow I can't believe they've broken up. Something else has happened. Something terrible. And I'm going to stay until I find out what.
Well, in that case, we better find a place to sleep.
All the bedrooms are upstairs. Come on.
Right. Wow. Look at the dust on the banister. I bet this place hasn't been cleaned in a month.
Paul.
Huh?
Did you see the way she looks?
Yeah.
Gee, her face seems completely wrinkled with worry. No wonder I didn't recognize her. She seems much older and frightened.
Well, do you think she's ill?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Wow, look at that hall. Gloomy and dirty. Where do these doors go to?
Well, that one's to Aunt Julie's room, and this one's Uncle Henry's. The one across the way is the spare. I guess that's ours.
Well, let's go in. What a mess.
Well, might as well get busy cleaning.
Yeah, there's nothing like a good round of house cleaning before supper.
Paul, so long as Uncle Henry's not here, maybe we can take his room. It's got an adjoining door to Aunt Julie's, and in case she needs us, we'll be near.
Okay, it doesn't matter to me which room we clean. Let's go.
Here. It's this one over here. Well, this is... Paul, look. It's all clean and neat.
Well, I'll be darned. It's the only clean place in the whole house.
I don't understand. Every room is inches in dirt, except this one. The outside is completely neglected.
Except the rose bush.
Uncle Henry's room and Uncle Henry's rose bush. I don't get it.
Well, look, on the dresser there. Aunt Julie's picture and a pipe and tobacco.
Why, that's Uncle Henry's favorite pipe.
Drawers full of shirts, socks, underwear. Cal, if your uncle went away, why did he leave this?
I don't know.
Strange, but...
What's that paper, Paul?
Why, it looks like... It is an insurance policy for $30,000 payable to your Aunt Julie in case Uncle Henry dies. Cal,
what
this
are you
is...
two doing here?
Aunt Julie, I...
What are you doing here?
Well, we thought that
What's
we
that could... in your hand?
An insurance...
Get it to me.
But I...
And keep out of this room.
Well, we didn't
need any
car. I didn't know how to take this. Uncle Henry's pipe and all his clothes were still in his room. And yet, Uncle Henry was gone. I couldn't understand why Aunt Julie got so angry. I looked to Paul for an explanation. I could tell he had something on his mind, but I didn't dare ask him what it was, and he didn't say. After Aunt Julie's outburst, we went back to the spare room and cleaned it. Then we washed and started downstairs for supper.
Watch your step, Carol. These aren't the strongest looking stairs.
It'll be all right. Paul, what do you make of Aunt Julie's behavior?
Frankly, Carol, I'm worried.
I'm frightened. May as well admit it. There's something strange here that frightens me to death.
Well, I don't think there's anything to be frightened of. It's just that... Oh, there, that's the last step.
This way to the kitchen.
Right. Oh, as I was saying, I don't think there's... Look out, Carol! Well, that was close. That vase just missed you.
A vase?
Yes, and it was a heavy one. The one at the top of the stairway.
If it would have hit me.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, I'm frightened.
Look, coming down the stairs.
What happened?
The vase fell. Just missed Carol.
Well, don't worry about it. I didn't like the vase anyway.
The vase? What about Carol? She almost got killed.
Never mind, Paul. It was an accident.
An accident?
We were just going in for supper, Aunt Julie. Care to join us?
Well, I...
Oh, come on, Aunt Julie. It'll do you good.
Oh, all right.
Here. You two sit right down. I'll have something prepared in a minute.
I'm not very hungry.
Oh, nonsense, Aunt Julie. I'll fix something that'll make your mouth water.
You know, when Carol and I get through cleaning this place up, it'll look just like new.
Yeah?
Sure. I think when Carol and I have a family, we'll take them to a farm.
Really?
Yes, yes. You know, this place would be swell for children.
Oh, what do you mean,
What did I say? What's the matter?
What's the matter with Aunt Julie? Where's she going?
I don't know. I was just trying to make conversation. Just talked about children on a farm, that's all.
Oh, Paul, I'm frightfully worried. Do you think we ought to call a doctor for her?
I don't know.
We have to do something. She certainly doesn't look too well.
But maybe she isn't really sick.
What do you mean?
Well... Maybe if your Uncle Henry did leave her, well, then maybe...
You mean she still loves him?
It's possible, but...
Oh, but you don't really believe it.
Oh, Carol, I don't know what to believe. I just know something's wrong.
Uh-huh. I'm not hungry, Paul.
Me either.
Let's go for a walk. Maybe we can figure something out.
The country's so peaceful and... beautiful in the night.
Yes, it is. I wish you could enjoy it.
But I can.
Oh, don't try to fool me. Your first vacation in years, and you run into this.
Well, we have to help her.
Of course.
But how? Unless we don't even know what's wrong. She not only won't tell, but we can't get near her long enough to talk to her.
Suppose Uncle Henry really did leave her. He may have gone off in a huff. That would account for the clothes being here.
Well, perhaps.
And suppose she still is in love with him. Well, that would account for...
Oh, but even if that's so, could that make her feel so badly? Make her act like this? Not talking, neglecting everything?
Everything except his room and his flowers.
Yeah, I don't know.
A woman's love is a strange thing. If you left me, I don't know what I'd do.
Well, if that is the case,
The thing to do is to make her forget.
That won't be easy.
No, I don't imagine it would be. But suppose we take her to the city with us until she forgets.
Well, we could ask her at least.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Let's go find her.
Oh.
Hey, watch out. Oh. You almost fell.
Oh, tripped. I'm all right. Look, Paul.
What?
Look what I tripped over.
It's a mound of freshly dug earth. Well, what's that for?
Paul. Paul, it looks like a grave.
Oh, don't be silly. Why, it's just a... Forget it. Come on, let's find Aunt Julie.
Paul, that...
Forget it. Say, what's that building over there?
That's the barn. There used to be a swell old cow there with a bell around her neck and chickens and ducks and all sorts of pets.
Yeah, this must have been a happy place.
It was, but now... Paul, standing by the barn, it's Aunt Julie. Come on, let's ask her now. Aunt Julie!
What you doing? Following me?
How could you?
Well, it was a nuisance.
Oh, Aunt Julie.
Oh. A cat with its neck wrung.
This was the first indication of Aunt Julie's ruthlessness. It seemed so unlike the Aunt Julie that I knew. She was always kind. But there was no mistaking the anger in her eyes as she stood there in the dim moonlight, the strangled cat in her hands. She killed it, she said, because it was a nuisance. If she could do that, what else was she capable of doing? Paul and I went into the house. We went upstairs and put the finishing touches in our room and went to bed. I couldn't sleep. And as I watched the moon make its slow, solitary way across the heaven, I kept thinking, Paul and I are also a nuisance. Paul and I are also a nuisance. Toward midnight, I became drowsy and was just beginning to fall off to sleep when I heard footsteps in the hall. Paul.
What?
Paul. Paul, wake up.
What is it?
Shh. I hear footsteps in the hall.
Footsteps? I don't hear anything.
There. Hear it?
Yeah.
Must be Aunt Julie.
Oh, what would she be doing up this time of night?
I don't know, but who else could it be?
I'll go see.
I'm coming with you.
Now, quiet. Don't put on the light. I can't see. Oh, yes. Now I can. It is Aunt Julie. She's walking down the hall. I think she's coming this way. Quiet. Shh. I think she's... What's she got in her hand?
Looks like a scissors.
Scissors?
Yes.
What would she be doing with... Carol, she's coming this way. Get back in bed, quick.
What?
Get in bed. All right, now. Quiet. She went out.
What?
Yeah. She just looked in and left.
Do you think she knew we were awake?
I don't see how.
Let's follow her.
All right. Where's my other slipper? Ah, there. All right, come on. She's going downstairs. Come on, and be quiet. I think she's going outside.
Let's go.
Not so fast. Give her a chance to get out. There, she's out. Come on.
Look, Paul. She's cutting a bunch of roses off the bush.
She's taking them around to the back of the house. Come on. Here. Now get down behind this bush.
Look, Paul.
She's going over to that mound and placing the roses on it.
Paul.
Shh.
But, Paul, it looks like...
Quiet, Carol. She's kneeling beside it. Now she's getting up. Coming back. Get down. She's gone.
Paul, do you know what that is?
I got a pretty good idea.
Uncle Harry's roses with Uncle Harry's grave. I said it. I said it without thinking. Of course, we had no way of knowing Uncle Henry was dead. We had no way of knowing that that was Uncle Henry's grave, or that it was a grave at all. But at that moment, stooping behind the bush in the blackness of the country, we felt it, not knowing why. Paul and I went back to our room as quickly and as silently as possible. Needless to say, we didn't sleep anymore. We just kept looking at each other, asking ourselves questions, trying to analyze our feelings. Soon we could see the streaks of dawn coming up over the treetops, and we slept the early morning hours trying to convince each other that our thoughts were ridiculous. Frankly, I don't think we succeeded. Finally, we decided not to mention it, to go on with the cleaning the next day as we'd planned, to make believe nothing had happened until we had proof. That day we spent cleaning, and all day Aunt Julie was nowhere to be seen. Yet I had a strange feeling that someone was watching our every move. Toward evening, Paul and I sat down for a bite to eat. More coffee?
Oh, thanks.
I wonder where Aunt Julie is.
I don't know, Carol. That's a strange aunt you've got.
Yes. Oh, look, the window.
What is it?
I saw someone looking in.
What? There's no one there now.
But I'm sure I saw...
Probably just a shadow.
Yes, probably just a shadow.
You're on edge, Carol.
I'll be all right. Finish your coffee. I'll start cleaning the bathroom. We'll both work on the kitchen, and I'll take care of the downstairs.
All right.
Paul, you look worried.
You know, this whole crazy business.
Let's not talk about it.
But putting roses on a... I'm sorry, Carol. It's you I'm really worried about. If something should happen to you, I'll never forgive myself.
Nothing will happen. Now finish your coffee. I'll start cleaning the bathroom.
Okay, Carol. I won't be long.
Well, it isn't too bad. There's the sink. Some hot water. There, that's it. A wash rag around the sink bowl. Oh, dear, just the wind. Guess I'm getting jumpy. This place won't be half bad when it's clean. The medicine chest. Clean the mirror. And the shelves. Oh. Paul? Paul?
What is it, Carol?
Come here.
What is it, Carol? What's the matter?
Look, here in the medicine chest.
Where? It's a hypodermic needle.
What would a hypodermic needle be doing here?
Well, it's not likely to be here for nothing.
Look, alongside of it, a bottle of... What's it say?
I can't read it.
It's awful-looking stuff. Open the bottle.
All right. That cork's in tight. There. Oh, nauseating. Stuff like that would kill a person.
Paul, it's not a joke.
I'm sorry, Carol.
Do you really think Aunt Julie...
I don't know.
Oh, it can't be, Paul. It can't be.
Maybe not, but we better find out. And quickly, Carol, there's one more thing to do. I'm going to see if that's really Uncle Henry's grave. I'm going to dig it up.
Oh, Paul, you can't.
Don't you see? I have to. If it is, we're in danger.
Of course.
I'm still not sure that falling vase was an accident. We have to find out about this business once and for all.
Well, I'm coming with you. We walked out toward the back of the house. And through my mind flashed the succession of events. The neglected house, Aunt Julie's insistence that we leave, the roses, the grave, the insurance policy, and now the hypodermic needle and that infernal oil. All the evidence pointed to but one conclusion. I couldn't believe it, and yet, there it was, motive and method. And now we were going outside to dig up the last remaining evidence.
Well, this is it, Cal. Sure you want to watch?
I won't stay in this house alone.
Look at the beautiful roses around it.
Hurry up, Paul. Let's get it over with.
Okay. Here goes. I never thought I'd turn into a grave digger. This dirt isn't packed tight. Easy to dig.
It's getting dark.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'll run in and get a lantern. I'll be right back, Carol.
All right. Every one of those lengthening shadows looked like a ghost. It gets dark quickly in the country. I was afraid, but I knew Paul would be back in a minute. I picked up the shovel and began to dig. Oh, there. That's better. I'm not so nervous. I'm working. Is that you behind me, Paul? Bring the lantern closer. Gee, it's so dark. Paul, I... Look at Henry!
What are you doing? What are you doing to my grave? Put it back. Oh, my flowers, my beautiful flowers, my lovely roses. You've hurt them. You've hurt my roses, and I won't let you. I won't.
Keep away, Uncle Henry.
I won't let you hurt my roses. My sweet, delicate roses.
Take your hands away. Take them.
Oh. You broke them. Oh. You killed them.
Stop it, Henry.
I'm going to kill her
Stop
just
it.
As she did my roses.
Stop it. Take your hands away.
Kill her. Henry.
Oh, forgive me, Henry. I didn't mean... Are you all right, Carol?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I think so.
What happened?
Uncle Henry?
Aunt Julie saved my life, Paul. And we thought she... Oh, can you ever forgive us, Aunt Julie?
You didn't know.
Then
you
he
didn't
wasn't
know.
Dead at all?
No. No, he wasn't.
Oh, I don't understand.
He was living in his room all the time, Carol. I was taking care of him. When you two insisted on staying here, I kept him out of sight. Oh, I didn't want to kill him, and I had to. He would have killed Carol.
Aunt Julie.
Oh, if you only had left when I asked you to. But perhaps it's better this way. He never got that violent before. I could always take care of him. The hypodermic needle and the sedative calmed him when he got a little wild, but then when I saw him strangle a cat, I knew he was getting completely out of hand. Yes, it's better this way. He's better off dead.
Poor Uncle Henry.
The grave and the roses were a whim of his. A whim. And look, he fell right in his own grave.
And so closes the story, Uncle Henry's Rosebush, starring Agnes Moorehead, Ellen Drew, and Ted Reed. Tonight's tale of suspense. This is your narrator, the man in black, who conveys to you Columbia's invitation to spend this half hour in suspense with us again next week, same time, when we will present another flowery bouquet of suspicion and terror and a homicidal maniac at large. Only this time, the roses will be white. The story will be The White Rose Murders by Cornell Woolrich, the tale of a killer who trademarked his crimes by leaving a white rose on the victim. Our star will be Maureen O'Hara. The producer of these broadcasts is William Spear, with Ted Bliss, the director, Bernard Herrmann and Lucian Mahowick, conductor and composer, and Larry Roman, the author, collaborated on tonight's Suspense.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find lots more from Theater 5 and Suspense at RelicRadio.com, where you'll also find all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, our donate button. Give that donate button a click. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount is always appreciated. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.